Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say once again, thank you so much for taking time today out of your busy life to listen to my radio broadcast. Today is Monday, March 14th, 2022. On today's broadcast, I want to focus in on two prominent, well-known people in the news in Iran. And I'm speaking about the treatment of two particular political prisoners that are in grave situations. And I do this morning to be a voice for them, to bring awareness to you as the listener to their particular plight, to their particular situation, as we join other voices of human rights activists to speak out and to say that this government is guilty of egregious human rights violations, especially in the cases of these two particular individuals, which I will talk about in a minute. One of the practices in Iran, especially against political prisoners in prison, is something called silent execution. In lots of cases, political prisoners are on death row. Some are in prison for 10 to 15 years, and they are in need of medical treatment. And in the case of political prisoners, they are denied life-saving medical treatment. And as a result, most of them die before their sentence is completed. And in the case this morning, I want to talk to you, first of all, about a young lady that the Center for Human Rights in Iran has written a letter to the United Nations to demand freedom for gravely ill Sepadeh Qalian. I want to talk to you about her background, the reason she's in prison, and what is her situation. This letter was prompted 2 months after two political prisoners died in Iranian state custody. The Center for Human Rights in Iran, speaking out against this evil practice, sent a letter to UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Michelle Bachelet, urging her to call for the immediate release of prisoner of conscience, Sepadeh Qalian. She is gravely ill and in need of urgent medical care. Well, let's learn a little bit about Sepadeh and why she's in prison. She's 27 years old. She's being unlawfully kept behind bars in Tehran's Evin prison for her peaceful dissent, in other words, a peaceful protest. And there are stipulations, of course, in Iranian law that allow for this young girl's release. The UN High Commissioner says Executive Director Hadi Ghami for the Center for Human Rights in Iran, the UN High Commissioner should call for Sepadeh Qalian's immediate release before another prisoner of conscience is silenced forever. in Iranian prison. Now, Sepadeh is among a group of other ailing political prisoners who also are being denied proper medical treatment. Other political prisoners that are well known in the news that I've talked about in the past would include Sohailia Hijab, Zainab Jalalian, Arsham Razay, Abbas Sharudi. These political prisoners in Iran are singled out for harsh treatment, which often includes denial of medical care, and they do this as a means to punish and silence any kind of dissent. Now, I want to read to you the letter that is being sent to UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Michelle Bachelet, and this is from the Center for Human Rights in Iran. Dear Madam High Commissioner, the Islamic Republic of Iran's denial of critically needed medical care to the unjustly imprisoned activist and freelance reporter Sepadeh Qalian represents an egregious human rights violation and poses a potential threat to her life and well-being. The Center for Human Rights in Iran respectfully requests the High Commissioner to forcefully condemn the denial of medical treatment for Ms. Qalian and to call upon the Iranian authorities to immediately release her from Evin prison so that she may receive proper care in a hospital. We wish to note that Iranian law provides for such a release. Article 502 of Iran's Code of Criminal Procedure stipulates that a person's sentence can be suspended if incarceration would make his or her physical or mental illness worse. We hope that the High Commissioner will urge other human rights bodies and experts, such as the Human Rights Council, the Special Rapporteur for Human Rights in Iran, and other relevant special procedures, as well as all member states, to join in this condemnation of Ms. Qalian's treatment and call for her immediate release. The denial of medical care is routinely used by the Islamic Republic as a means of punishment for political prisoners, and as such, this practice should be explicitly and forcefully condemned. This is especially so during the current pandemic. Well, apparently, let me just pause there. While there are some situations here in the United States where mask mandates have been lessened, it seems like the pandemic is subsided. In Iran, it's still rampant. And what happened during the current pandemic going on in Iran is political prisoners have died in Iran's overcrowded and unhygienic prisons due to COVID-19. Most recently, the arbitrarily detained poet Bakhtash Apmin died after contracting COVID-19 in Evin prison. Without coerced pressure by the international community, the Islamic Republic will continue to criminalize and punish peaceful dissent, and the authorities' life-threatening actions towards Sepadeh Qalian and other political prisoners and prisoners of conscience that include the denial of critical medical care will continue as well. Ms. Qalian's case follows an entrenched pattern in the Islamic Republic of prosecution of human rights defenders without due process, the imposition of lengthy prison sentences, and harsh, even life-threatening treatment for political prisoners once in prison. Initially arrested back in November 2018 in Shush, that's southwest Iran, for her participation in a strike by sugar mill workers, Ms. Qalian has been outspoken inside and outside prison about the torture she and fellow detainees were subjected to while in detention. Now, Sepadeh was among nine labor activists who were each sentenced to 5 years in prison back in December 2019 on the charge of, quote, assembly and collusion against national security. Mind you, she and other labor workers are simply peacefully protesting conditions at the sugar mill and this is the result of what they receive. She began serving her five-year sentence back in June of 2020 in Evin prison after refusing to sign a letter of apology to Iran's supreme leader, Al Khamenei. In March 2021, she was banished to the central prison in Bushehr on Iran's southern coast. In September 2021, while on furlough, she was charged with, quote, publishing falsehoods online and propaganda against the state after publishing a series of tweets describing inhumane conditions in Bushehr's central prison. She was detained during a raid by the security forces on her home in Ahvaz on October 11, 2021, and on October 15, 2021, she was transferred back to Evin prison, held in Ward 209, controlled by the Intelligence Ministry. Ward 209, by the way, is notorious for the rape of female political prisoners and inhumane torture and practices. I've read about this before. During her imprisonment, she had been on a hunger strike several times to protest her unjust prosecution and inhumane prison conditions, and like many other political prisoners, subsequently she contracted COVID-19 in Iran's overcrowded, unhygienic prisons. Now, this past February, it was reported she had been moved to the quarantine unit in Evin prison with severe stomach bleeding, kidney pain, diarrhea, nausea, and a high fever. And despite all of these very serious medical conditions, she continues to be denied medical furlough so that she can receive proper treatment outside the prison. Her brother wrote on Instagram on March, "My sister Sepadee, her life is still in danger. After the spread of the Omicron variant of the coronavirus in Evin prison's women's ward, Sepadee contracted the virus. Sepadee's body has become so weak and fragile from underlying untreated diseases caused by banishments, hunger strikes, and constant pressures that even a cold can overwhelm her. Because of the impact of the Omicron variant, Sepadee's body cannot absorb much water or food because of indigestion, and she throws up everything she eats. Her temperature has not returned to normal. Her weakness, lethargy, and jaundice are visible. The case judge, who previously claimed that Sepadee was not entitled to furlough and had crossed red lines, finally agreed to sign the leave form. Yet, she remains imprisoned. Her brother believes that she is being treated this way because she spoke out against prison conditions and the torture and harassment of women in Bushehr prison. This is a young freelance journalist who participated initially in a peaceful protest a few years ago. And because when she went to prison, she exposed the harsh treatment going on there, she is being denied proper medical care and will slowly die unless she gets this kind of treatment. This is Sepadee Qalyan. Her story is on my Facebook page, and what I want us to do, first of all, is to make her case known all over the internet. Please share this broadcast. Please share her story, which is on my page. And number two, and most important, is to pray for her, to pray that God would intervene and that this woman would receive the necessary medical care. It's really inhumane. Now, one other political prisoner, and this particular political prisoner is one among many lawyers who are in prison suffering simply because they have spoken out for human rights for their clients. And I want to talk to you about imprisoned human rights lawyer Mohammed Najafi. He has been unlawfully and unjustly imprisoned in Iran since 2018 on multiple convictions. What's his crime? For his defense of basic civil and political liberties. He is currently serving a 54-month prison sentence. He should be freed immediately. Lawyers for Lawyers, it's an independent and non-political Netherlands-based foundation, and the Center for Human Rights in Iran said in a joint statement just a few days ago, quote, Najafi has been slammed with one sham conviction after the next in order to keep him behind bars because the authorities fear his determination to speak truth to power and defend basic human rights. That's according to Hadi Gahami. He's the executive director for human rights in Iran. Lawyers are the last line of defense against the autocrats who would silence all dissent. When they cannot do their job, society as a whole becomes imprisoned. My good friend Amaral once said while she lived in Iran, she says Iran is one big prison. And so I am joining the Center for Human Rights in Iran and Lawyers for Lawyers in calling on the authorities in Iran to unconditionally and immediately release human rights lawyer, Mr. Mohammad Najafi. Again, his crime is simply speaking up for human rights for Iranians. Based on Article 35 of Iran's constitution, people, quote, have the right in all courts of law to select an attorney, and therefore there must be guarantees in all circumstances that all lawyers in Iran are able to carry out their legitimate professional activities without fear of reprisals and fear of all restrictions, including harassment by the judicial and security establishment. Now, if you listen to my program at all, you know the case of Nazreen Satouda, who was defending the women who protested wearing the hijab a few years ago on Revolution Street during an uprising. She also is in prison for speaking out with other lawyers about the way lawyers are treated in Iran. They're not allowed to do their practice. Now, Mr. Najafi has a history of heart disease and other civil serious illnesses. Basically, according to law, his sentence could be reduced to a fine in accordance with the articles in the Iran Constitution 501, 522. A prisoner's sentence can be suspended if incarceration could make their illness worse. Now, of course, this is what the law states, but the mullahs of Iran don't care about the law. They care about enacting retribution and punishment for these lawyers who are defending the human rights of all Iranians, and they are trying to silence them. They do this to journalists as well. In the case of Sepahdi, they're not allowed to report on stories. They're not allowed to expose the harsh conditions in Evin prison. And so this continues to be the way they treat political prisoners. Back in 2012, this was a well-known case that I've talked about recently, the case of blogger Sattar Beheshti. He died under torture in police custody, and on July 2nd, 2021, he was once again charged with propaganda against the state. This is continually an amazing – this is a man that's been dead for 9 years, and this is how they treat people who write an opinion piece on social media, who speak out against the unlawful practice, the egregious human rights violations, and for those who speak out against what's going on in the prison. So once again this morning, I am urging you to use this broadcast as a means of educating others. As we fight as human rights activists against these egregious human rights violations, both Mr. Najafi and Sepahdi are suffering with medical illnesses. They are being deprived of medical attention. That all they would have to do is take them out of prison. They can still be handcuffed and take them to a hospital and have them treated. And this continues to be the ongoing practice called silent execution in Iran. I could give you a list of people that have been treated this way. And the courts basically in Iran are working hand in hand with intelligence agencies to persecute independent lawyers so that any hopes for defending due process of basic civil and political liberties in Iran are extinguished. And so this morning, I'm joining the Center for Human Rights in Iran, the group known as Lawyers for Lawyers in the Netherlands. Let's speak out for Mohammed Najafi. Let's speak out for Sepahdi Qalyan. These are human beings that are being tortured and denied basic human rights and basic medical care. And unless this happens, they will die in prison. As you think about what's going on in the Ukraine, the inhumane treatment of women and children, the bombing, the targeting of them, innocent victims, and you think about the egregious treatment of these two prominent people, political prisoners in Iran, you could be so overwhelmed. You can say, where is justice? Where is God in this situation? Well, he hears the prayers of his people. The continuous prayer reaches him, and he cares about human beings. The effectual, fervent prayer of one righteous person avails much power, according to James 5:14. And I want us to think about that as I play this song by Matt Redman. It's a song that says that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, never lets us go, that he is with us always, that he sustains us, that he strengthens us. And no matter what your situation is this morning, understand that the Good Shepherd Jesus will never let you go. And as we think about that reality as Christians, let us pray fervently today for Sepahdi and Muhammad in their situation, that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, will intervene in their darkest times in prison and give them healing and salvation. He did this for Rahane Jabari. He sent a Christian girl in prison to teach and preach the gospel to her. He can do the same for these two human rights activists. He can work in their situation to bring comfort, relief, healing, and salvation. Let's think of that now as we listen to this song by Matt Redman.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near, and I will fear no evil, for my God is with me, and if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never
beautiful worship music of Matt Redman and You Never Let Go. Nothing will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Neither death nor life nor anything. Romans 8:38-39. This morning on the cross in the desert, I have been talking at length to you about the cases of Sepideh, Qalyan, and Muhammad Najafi. And this morning, we are lifting up their situations to our great God and Savior. And the Bible talks about that in Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1, I believe, that God heard the cries of these people that were enslaved in Egypt by the cruel and unjust Pharaoh. And he sent Moses to deliver them. Our God understands and feels our pain. Why does he understand it? Because in Christ Jesus, Jesus come and suffered excruciating pain and a death on the cross to reconcile us, to forgive us, to bring hope and healing to us. So God truly understands pain because he experienced it in Christ. And so he knows the suffering of Sepideh and Muhammad. And we lift up them this morning to our great God and Savior for healing, for intervention, and for salvation. Please join me and praying fervently for them, sharing their cases on your social media pages. And don't forget, our God understands pain. He hears our cries. It is never in vain for us to cry and to pray out for these people to him. I want to thank you so much for spending time with me this morning on the cross in the desert. The Nowruz celebration is coming up in the next week. I'll be doing some special programming on that. God bless you. I will see you again Thursday on the cross in the desert.